Okay, Kate Conrad.
Present.
David Van Allen.
Present.
Lynn Oaken.
Here.
Ann Johnson.
I'm here.
Elizabeth Rhodes Reed.
Here.
Maria Moore.
Here.
And then Jonathan Berger, not here. And John Suka, also not here. And I think I got everyone, but I'm going off of memory this time. Okay.
So did everybody have a chance to read the minutes that Sylvia sent us?
Yes.
Do we have corrections or amendments to the minutes?
I don't.
If not, then we'll take a move to approve.
Okay, I move to approve.
Second.
Okay.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, unanimous from everyone that was here. So that was moved by Van Allen and seconded by Rhodes Reed.
Sounds good.
Public input today, I see we have none.
Nope, no one signed up for that today.
All right, so onward to updates and discussion items.
So I have a brief presentation for you about an idea that's come up in the past couple months. Are you guys seeing my screen now in like presentation mode, or is it okay? Cool.
The agenda. Mm-hmm. Oh, here.
So this is an idea that came out of something the city's doing called innovation groups or innovation teams. Basically, if anyone from basically any part of the city organization has an idea for something that could be done better or in a more innovative way, they can submit. And then I think it's managed out of the city manager's office, and they kind of put together cross-departmental teams to work on the project. So this one actually came out of the Parks and Recreation Department from the maintenance manager for kind of the central area. And this is something that he's been doing for the past couple years at the skate park. So the pictures you're seeing here are kind of the back of the skate park ramps. And these are areas that used to get a lot of tagging and graffiti. And he started working with an artist just on a volunteer basis. This artist wanted to paint on the ramps and asked this parks manager if that was okay. He basically gave him the go ahead, and this artist, and I believe his son as well, have been doing these murals on the skate ramps for the past couple years. They change them out every so often. And the parks manager has reported that there's been much less tagging since taggers and graffiti artists tend to respect other artists' work and don't deface that. So it's been kind of a win-win. This artist gets a place to put up his work. The Parks Department spends a lot less time covering up tags or graffiti, which, you know, sometimes can be offensive or, you know, just inappropriate. Sometimes it's just, you know, unattractive. So the idea that came out of this was to do kind of a pilot program in other high graffiti areas. And the person from the Parks Department also worked with the same artist on, this is a site right by the skate park, but not quite at the skate park. And so you can kind of see before, you have a lot of tagging and scribbling, and you can also see the paint of where the Parks Department has covered up older graffiti. And then this is the same artist who did work at the skate park. He put up this mural basically at his own cost. And you can kind of see in the bottom right of the after picture that there's still a little bit of tagging where there's not the mural. Mm-hmm. But nothing's been done on the mural since this was painted. And I think this was about a year ago now. So through this innovation group, the idea came up to kind of formalize this process a bit more and actually commission murals for some high graffiti spots. And kind of, as I mentioned before, it's kind of a win-win. It reduces the need to cover up graffiti, you know, looks a lot better, and it provides an opportunity for local artists. So with this, we're thinking of something kind of low to mid budget that would be targeting someone local. So we identified a couple spots for a pilot program, and the goal here is to get something painted at both of these this coming summer. So one is along the trail underneath the 8th Avenue Bridge, and then the other at the 12th Avenue Bridge. So this kind of shows what these areas look like now. This is the 8th Avenue Bridge. My initial thought was to try to get a mural on this wall that's on the right, where you see the graffiti currently. A representative from the police department also let me know that it's not this exact wall, it's a bit further down, but there's a wall very close to here that's about 300 feet long that also has gotten a lot of graffiti. So there's potentially an opportunity for a larger scale one in this location as well. And then the second location, this is the 12th Avenue Bridge. This picture was taken a couple months ago. So basically the idea here is to come up with an RFP, and I still have a decent amount of background work to do. As soon as it's not completely freezing out, I'm going to go out and try to get some measurements for dimensions, and take a look at the current state of these walls and do some research into what kind of preparation we might need. What would be an appropriate budget for murals in this area, and then start developing an RFP. And then the goal is to get these installed in the summer. And then after they're installed, we would work with the police department to just kind of keep an eye out for, is this actually reducing graffiti and tagging on the murals? Is it just moving it to nearby areas? Just kind of see how successful this is as a way to, you know, both beautify the trail and deter some tagging and graffiti. So this is something that the VAC budget could fund. I've kind of run that by Bill, and he was supportive of that idea. So I haven't done a ton of research yet on the budget. I tentatively have in mind roughly 5,000 per mural, but that is going to depend a lot on the size. I'm also going to do some looking into, like, can the city take care of getting the walls ready to go for the artists and help with that part of the cost, maybe the city.
That would cover the cost of the paint too?
Yeah, so we would ask the artists to provide their own paint, and we would basically here's the budget for this project. Basically, propose what you would like to do.
Mm-hmm. The person that did the other murals on the skate park, is he part of the group? So that, because obviously he knows what it costs to, you know, get the wall prepared, the cost of the paints, and the time involved.
Yep. Is he kind of so? He is kind of on the private side about what he's doing, because I believe he also does some not necessarily above board street art. So he's not wanting to get his name out all over the place or anything, but he's been in touch with the person from the Parks Department who he has a good working relationship with. So we're able to kind of check in with him on budget, time, and things like that.
Good, because also he would also probably know some of these people that are doing some of the graffiti, and that would be a wonderful way of, okay, they're getting paid, someone's doing this, and there would be a lot more pride in it. And if you're saying that the, I'm not really sure what tagging is versus graffiti, what's the difference? But, you know, if those groups respect one another.
Permission, I think.
If you could get those, you know, those people involved in, you know, if they want to be private about it, fine. But, you know, they do have some wonderful skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if they wanted to, you know, do a city-sponsored mural and use some kind of artist name, pseudonym, totally fine. Right. Like, we don't need to be putting their real name and information out into the public if they don't want that.
Right.
It's completely up to the artist.
I wasn't really clear when you said the other artist didn't want his name out because... Why?
Because he probably does some illegal graffiti from time to time.
Okay, got it. Yeah. And so if this were to go, do they have to submit their design to us? Or they just, here it is, do what you want, or what?
Yeah, so I think what I would ask for in the RFP is for them to provide some kind of concept sketch for what they'd like to do, along with some examples of work that they've completed in the past, so that we can get a sense of, you know, can they complete a project to this scale? Because, I mean, if we look at some of the, you know, graffiti tagging that you have, some of them are basically just like people putting up a smiley face or writing something on the wall, whereas some of the graffiti artists do art that's much more elaborate. So, you know, we would want to know that they can do something that looks high quality and nice, and, you know, that they're able to pull off a full scale mural.
So I'm kind of wondering, are they specifically going to look for artists who mainly do graffiti art? If people who would want to be, or who are inclined to want to tag stuff, are you saying that they would probably respect it more if it looks like it's done by a graffiti artist rather than just a artist who's doing a specific design?
That's a question I wanted to pose to this group, because we would be the ones putting out the RFP for this. So, you know, it's kind of a decision to make. Personally, I don't think it's, I've kind of done some looking into other cities that have done similar things, and I haven't found anything about whether it makes a big difference if it's a graffiti style mural or if it's, you know, more traditional.
I've seen some really neat looking graffiti art. There are some really talented artists that do that style of art. And I know that, there's a couple places in the Quad Cities where they have done that, where they basically had some very talented graffiti artists do graffiti style type of murals, and they look really neat. But what I was just kind of wondering is, you know, people who see that all the time and who are very familiar with what graffiti art looks like for the most part, would they be inclined not to deface it or do anything to it if they know that it's a fellow graffiti artist?
Yeah, and that's kind of unclear. I think that's part of why this is a pilot project as well. You know, we'll see how it goes.
How would you reach some of the, Maria, how would you reach some of these graffiti artists? Because I have a feeling, you know, they're on a different wavelength, and, you know, they probably wouldn't even look at an RFP or even fill it out.
I think a lot of them may be doing stuff that probably is not stuff that they want to admit to. but if they're given a chance, if they are given a chance to do something legitimate that they can be proud of, I'm assuming that maybe we could find some who, I mean, naturally we would want them to submit their design for sure. But I'm wondering if maybe, and I'm not really sure how to get the word out to these people because I don't really know any graffiti artists, but I'm thinking it would be pretty cool. It would give them an outlet. It would give them a legitimate outlet for their artwork, rather than, you know, this boxcars on trains or wherever, railroads or wherever else they do that stuff. And I think there would be, I think there would be probably some people who probably would really be interested in doing something like this.
Yeah, I think it's actually, so I was able to find the Instagram of someone who does a lot of graffiti art locally. Some of it is like the tagging style, which is when they kind of like put up their moniker, which is, you know, like some version of their pseudonym and, you know, something quick that they can do over and over. But this artist has also been commissioned by a couple of restaurants locally to do painting. So, I mean, sounds like this artist does some stuff legitimately, does some stuff, you know, just on his own.
I think each artist that we might, that it's out there who does this stuff is probably at some sort of different stage of the process of just being a rebel and getting a lot of the kicks out of breaking the law and being clandestine and getting away with something. At some point, I'm assuming a little bit of maturity kicks in and then there's a desire for something more, maybe, or just leave the business altogether. But there seems to be those who actually paint these things and get somebody to pay for it. There's a bit of a crossover there. where now they're you know, flirting with legitimacy, which earlier on in their careers they would have turned their noses at. Now maybe they're thinking about it because maybe there's a sense of pride and a sense of moving up the ladder or up a prestige or whatever. Maybe they've got to a point where those things are starting to be important. I think that any given artist is probably at a different stage of that crossover process. and you get to somebody like Keith Haring, for instance, he launched into outer space with this whole thing. and Banksy, they've accomplished quite a bit. And Banksy is an interesting character because he still hates the man, you know. He's still, you know, being a rebel. But he's making all this obscene amount of money.
We're a rebel.
yeah. Well. But he rejects it. You know. Did you all know that piece that he's that sold at an auction, like a Christie's auction?
Like immediately shredded.
Yeah. He had it rigged. He had the frame rigged with a shredder in it. So as soon as the hammer went, the mallet went down on the bidding. He punched a remote control button or something, and the painting just started dropping and shredding as it went. Somebody spent, you know, several
millions
or tens of thousands of dollars on this thing, and then it just gets shredded in front of them. What a great gesture. That was an incredible gesture. And so, you know, he's still the rebel. He's also very anonymous. He doesn't want anybody to know what he looks like. So you won't see his picture on the cover of Time magazine or anything.
Well, you said that it's been for a while and then it's replaced. What do you see for the longevity? You're saying that these would get painted, but then at some point they get painted over or what?
Yeah, so I'm thinking that we specify something in the RFP that, you know, when they start looking less good, the city will probably at some point paint over them. But from the research I've done is that, you know, like 15 to 20 year lifespan for a mural is not uncommon. So I mean, I think we can expect to have something decently long lasting. But yeah, it's not gonna be like permanent.
I think that's part of the nature of the media, is that, you know, it's temporary. You know, we're not going to be curating this and preserving it in the Museum of Modern Art 2,000 years from now, or even 100 probably. So it's a temporal thing, and it's almost as much about the process of making it as is about the product. And the process, part of the motivation and part of the energy behind the process is the rebelliousness of it, the counterculture gesture behind it.
It kind of sounds like the group is leaning towards asking for something in a graffiti style. And since Jonathan and John just joined kind of halfway through, I'll just give like a super fast recap for you guys. What we're talking about is, let me go back a couple slides. So this is an idea that actually came out of the parks department, and they've been doing something similar at the skate park. These are the ramps. They used to get tons of tagging and graffiti, and then they basically had someone who on a volunteer basis did some murals on those, and it reduced the graffiti a lot. They did a similar one. This is kind of adjacent to the skate park. So we're kind of talking about formalizing it a bit more and actually commissioning a few murals for high graffiti spots. The two that we've come up with as a pilot is 8th Avenue and 12th Avenue under the bridge along the trail. So a couple of pictures. And then obviously there's kind of still a lot of work on the logistics side that I'm going to work on in the next month or so. But the goal is to have some murals done in 2021. And so the questions we've been talking about is, do we want to indicate that something in kind of a graffiti or street art style is preferable for these? Do we want it to be completely open? And then another question I thought I might pose to the group is, the 12th Avenue Bridge is the one that basically connects to the African American Museum. It's also, I think, formally named the Martin Luther King Jr. Bridge. So I was wondering if we wanted to suggest that a mural for that location kind of ties into Black history, social justice, something along those lines.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then maybe the 8th Avenue can be more thematically open.
Yeah.
So the whole idea of putting limitations or criteria onto the project, you know, part of the proposal that they would submit, you know, they would need to, if we have this criteria, they would need to address it. That particular theme that you just brought up sounds like one that people wouldn't have too much trouble with. That sounds like something people would relish that one, but other topics not so much. History of Cedar Rapids or something is probably going to go, not going to be a big popular one for the graffiti artists. I don't know. I was thinking earlier, when I first saw the first two pieces, I said, "Oh God, does it have to be pop culture?" You know. But if we actually say that, we're going
to
get.
We might have backlashes. Copyright issues, so I think we would have to make sure that it can't be like a known character, like this example is Mario. Yeah. I think that would probably be a copyright issue, so we'd probably have to specify to avoid things like
that's
that.
That's a fairly neutral thing.
Yeah, and I believe this one is just a character that the artist created, so something like that would be just fine. But
what about Canadian geese?
Are they copyrighted?
Anti, right?
I wonder about the concept of just creating a legal wall. Just give them some walls that they can that they can put whatever graffiti they want on there. And, you know, as long as it's not you know, offensive, go have at it. Rather than trying to push them into, you know, here's a mural concept. I think some people are not going to be able to, I mean, they just don't have the wherewithal to do a big mural project. But if what they really want to do is create graffiti, then let's find them a place to do it. And then we don't have to pay anyone. We just say, here's your wall.
But are you, Kate, are you saying that you want a wall that the public can go and write stuff on?
Sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's an idea, but then if I'm looking at the right screen, I think we're going to end up with another before picture.
No, I think people will take a little more pride in it if it's a legal wall that we're showing off and saying, hey, you know, you want to put graffiti on here? Go right ahead.
Well, so we actually talked about this concept in the kind of group meetings. And one of the things that came up was it can be a difficult position for the city to be in. So let's say if someone puts something like, you know, F the police or something that is kind of political, you know, kind of charged, it can be a difficult decision for the city to decide what's appropriate to keep up and take down. Like some stuff is going to be very clear cut, but some stuff is not. Like if someone put up like, I hate the Cedar Rapids government.
Yeah.
You know, there's no profanity in that. It's a valid opinion that someone can have if they want to, but at the same time, we probably don't want.
It's almost you would have to post like guidelines to add to this wall.
Yeah. But so it like, just becomes, it's a difficult position to have to enforce those guidelines and could take a lot of monitoring. I think for this, we're kind of looking for something more permanent. I like the idea as kind of, and maybe it's more event-based, like a...
Event-based, you said?
Yeah, like what if for like an open graffiti wall that just anyone could draw in, maybe that could be part of some kind of event where
like
it's
a,
up
like
for
a chalk
a
the walk thing or something?
Yeah, or, you know, it's around for a little while, but the intent is not that it's going to be there forever because it just could become a difficult thing to manage over time.
Couldn't you say that's what the before picture is? Anybody came along and did what they wanted to do?
Well, but potentially, I mean, it wasn't legal. If they were caught, they would have been charged potentially.
So you're saying if you said here it's legal, do what you want, we could still get what the before looks like, right?
That was my theory.
Yeah.
Was there any talk or what is the preliminary budget amount? Was there any?
I'm still kind of looking into that. I'm going to do some more looking into like exact dimensions of these and stuff. Tentatively somewhere in the $5,000-ish dollar range for each mural, but at this point it's still pretty flexible. So basically wanting to target someone who's local, you know, not necessarily like a famous artist, but at the same time wanting to make sure that they're appropriately compensated and you know, it's worth their while to do the project. So I'm just gonna have to do some research and figure out what that amount is.
I think maybe putting some guidelines together first that we could look at them would probably, you know, get some more parameters. I personally am not open to just saying, here's a wall, do what you want, because I don't really want to see the before thing. You know, I'd rather see something a little more cohesive than just anybody coming along and spray painting anything they want.
Yeah, that's what we're leaning towards as well.
As far as guidelines go, I would like to make a case for having the guidelines be purely formal things rather than thematic things. how about just stick a big grid up there and give people segments of the grid and then let them do whatever they want. But then let's say, for instance, in addition to that, whatever square they pick, excuse me, to put their piece in needs to relate to the ones on either side. Now, initially, there isn't going to be one on either side, but the next person then has to have some sort of continuity between one and the next one. Maybe it's just a similar color on the edge there, and then they do whatever they want, or maybe it's a line that intersects the edge, and then that line gets incorporated into the design on the next piece, something like that. But once David, we start to do themes, I think it's troublesome.
David, I did think of that idea of yours because I think we talked about that at the last meeting too, kind of like a collaborative mural. Yes. Uh-huh. And I think that could be a good fit for something similar to this. Uh-huh. I think for this first pilot one, we just wanted to get something up this year and have it be like filling the space so that it kind of tests the theory of, is this going to deter graffiti, because we kind of thought about it, and if only one square was done at first, then likely you would get a lot of tagging or graffiti adjacent impact to the square on the spaces that aren't covered yet. But I do like that idea, and I want to kind of keep that in mind for a future project. I feel like that would be a better fit for somewhere that's a little bit higher visibility where you're not gonna have graffiti, because I feel like if you have those blank spaces, that's a really easy spot for graffiti. And the reason these spots along the trail are getting hit with so much graffiti is in part because they're kind of secluded and you know,
people are with all these lines that are going on, and especially like the girders of the bridge, and then if we walk around that wall there a little bit, we can look at the bridge going across the river. And of course, if we were to do a perspective drawing, lines would converge and so on. I think this would be interesting to have perspective incorporated into it, or maybe forced perspective to create, you know, more of a surreal illusion where the depth is actually greater than it really is, or it's actually shallower than what it really is, and just sort of be a counterpoint to the way it really is, whatever that is.
I feel like with the shapes of these areas, like how you have some parts that project further than others, there's a lot of room for creative ways to use that. So
yeah, like the pipe on that one, the black pipe up there, that would be interesting to incorporate.
Mm-hmm, or you have that like arched space, retracts into the wall a bit more. You could definitely do something. I'd like to see what people come up with.
Yeah, boy, I wonder what the architects were thinking about when they did that. that's an odd thing to do.
Structural stability or cost or something. Not artistic, I'm guessing.
Maybe it was the engineer that did that instead of the architect.
So kind of moving forward, I'm going to do some of this background work, and my goal is to have kind of a draft RFP for this group to look at the next meeting, but just kind of wanted to let you guys know about the idea and just get some general feedback on if we're leaning towards, I guess personally what I'm leaning towards, especially after this conversation, is having a pretty open RFP in terms of themes, but maybe just putting some language in there that says, you know, like a graffiti street art style preferred or encouraged, and then on the 12th Avenue Bridge, kind of African-American history, social justice themes encouraged, and then that probably that gives people some direction, but at the same time, if someone has an amazing idea that doesn't quite fit into that, we're open to it as well.
What if we were to take a cliche like daisies? You know, when people do, you know, when somebody picks up a piece of chalk or a paintbrush and does their first mural or a sidewalk thing, or just, you know, you just hand a non-artist a pencil or a pen and say, you know, draw something. The number of people that would draw a daisy is enormous. I mean, the percentage is, you know, it's just like the first thing that occurs to them, art. Daisies. I think it would be interesting to have maybe a competition or something. Who can do the best daisy? Or who can sort of break this daisy cliche and make something transform it. Not transform it. That's not the word I'm looking for. You know, go beyond it. Go beyond it.
So David, I'm not sure most taggers really think that hard. So I would be willing to bet you probably could do an event-based graffiti piece on one of these walls, which might be kind of cool, like to do with a farmer's market where, you know, you had people down there with supplies and encouragement about, you know, how to use spray paint on a wall. And if there was some publicity surrounding it, it could be kind of a fun event and we might get something pretty cool.
Well, as far as graffiti artists go, they may or may not be, you know, conceptually sophisticated in their involvement, but they are, I think, almost across the board, they're emotionally involved in it. And so if they were to apply their emotions to some simple thing, like a cliche, and then say, okay, emotions here. we're all going to do this. Doesn't have to end up looking like a daisy, but that's sort of the starting point. I don't know. I'm just thinking. I
think that could be another cool idea for some kind of event. I don't know. A lot of your ideas are, and maybe it's also just like COVID isolation, but I'm like, I just want to do some kind of life.
You're saying I'm losing my mind? Are you?
No, I'm saying I am just like, let's do an art themed block party and have all these different ideas and get people to participate in them and have it be kind of like a
coming out party. Event.
What was that?
A coming out party.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and thinking of the 12th Avenue Bridge one, even if it's not thematic per se, because of its proximity to the African American Museum, I think it would be really great to let them know at the museum that this is going to be happening once it's established.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and perhaps they would know people to encourage who would be interested in participating, and that would be really, really
Yeah, they also might have some input on what sort of, how you want to write that. A proposal.
I think that's a marvelous idea. And this is one of the things that we had talked about a while back with, you know, trying to partner with other organizations.
Right.
And so to me, it feels like it would be great to just partner with the African American Museum and say, hey, we have a little money. Here's what we're thinking and see what we get from them. I bet they're going to say, you know what, we know some people and we've got some themes. Mm. It would be great if we can evolve, you know, schools, public schools in in a project like that.
Yep. I think rather than just thrilled. Yep.
I'm guessing that
I'll reach out to them for sure. I think they do.
I think they would jump on it. I think they would jump on it.
Oh yeah. And they do a fair amount of arts related events. So I bet they have good contacts.
Yes.
I would also encourage that if people said you want to get two or three or four together to do one, it could be a group thing rather than just one single person doing it.
Well, and maybe that's part of the RFP is that it could be small group or individual. Maybe, you know, somehow the language could have that open because it could be a great student project. It could be a lot of different things.
Yeah. But I think if the outcome that you want is a decent piece of art, to just hire people who really are, you know, local amateurs who might be taggers, but instead you're trying to, you know, push into something more legitimate, is a dangerous and not very good idea.
I don't think having local schools with a class of students that are taking art for the very first time in their life, I don't think that's a good place to start either. As far as, you know, who's going to do this painting for us and who's going to do the conceiving. I mean, these people have a minimal amount of understanding of the media, of the materials, of the history of the thing. They're just pulling out whatever occurs to them. And more often than not, it's a friggin' daisy.
But that, I think that's why it's important to partner with another organization.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And there could be people who could be surprising in those groups.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I wouldn't, you know, yeah. I don't debate that. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think an important part of the proposal is going to be including examples of their previous work. Sure. Because if it's someone who does some tagging sometimes, but also does, you know, more involved pieces, that could be great. If it's someone who, you know, kind of does a little bit of tagging and has never really gone beyond that, they probably don't have the expertise needed. So yeah, we'll definitely make sure that that's a significant part of the proposal. And I think that will give us a good idea of what the artist is capable of.
And I do think we're going to have trouble finding people who are going to read a proposal. I
agree.
I'm concerned about the success of this, Sylvia. I just, unless we have people identified.
Well, I think the contact that we have through the Parks Department would probably also be a good starting place. He might know other people that he can send it to.
I wouldn't pay anybody to see those, the pieces that you showed us that he did. I wouldn't pay anyone to do those.
No.
I mean, personally, I just would not pay anyone to do those.
Not, yeah. No.
Well, I mean, I think we, you know, if we put out an RFP, we see what we get. And I think if we say something along the lines of like street art style preferable, we might get some things in that vein, some things that are different. And, you know, hopefully we have good options to select from. And if we don't get anything good, we're not obligated to move forward with it. So
now you're using the... I'm just going to say something about the words that you use there. You called it street art. I'm wondering what street artists call it.
I've heard of street art, but I don't know.
And how they distinguish between one style or one kind and another, which buzzword best describes their work, just so we have a vocabulary to talk to these people about, rather than just our own generalizations. There's a lot more subtlety to it than any of us have had personal experience with. Right. Unless any of you have been tagging. Any of you tagging? Hey, Jonathan, how about you? Have you been tagging?
No, I mean, sometimes I have some tags I need to cut off, but other than that, man.
And the question becomes, you said that maybe if it's, quote, one of their own, they won't tag it and wreck it up. You know, all I can tell you is the first mural that Murals of Mora put up and it was up high. And the only way anybody could get to it is to go up on the roof and reach over. Within a week, it was marked. And they've got graffiti on it. And it's been
I think that's a different population. A formal mural might be perceived differently than a street art graffiti.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of the idea here, too, is that it is a pilot program. So,
right.
See what happens. We'll definitely put some kind of coding on it. We also talked about, as part of the RFP, kind of having some kind of agreement with the artist that they can do touch-ups if needed, you know, within a certain time frame, of course.
Well, since it's sort of temporary media. And everybody's sort of from the very beginning expecting at some point it's going to get painted over, replaced with another one, or just, you know, turned into a blank wall once again. And so it's a little bit easier just to call this an experiment, because we don't have to, you know, live with it forever. And we won't be anyway, okay, whether we're planning on it or not. So it's just sort of the nature of this particular genre of art is that it's temporary. And the people that are making it are certainly exercising their interest in being experimental. They're not only experimenting with how to break the law, but they're also experimenting with you know, different styles and different ways to distinguish themselves from the crowd, even though to a uneducated eye, they all kind of look the same. Maybe it's just, you know, it all just gets categorized. but in fact, within that, there's a great deal of subtlety. And I know personally, I would like to know what the vocabulary is, so I can sort of be up on the nuances of it.
So, David, I agree with you on the idea that this should all be thought of as temporary, that, you know, everybody should assume that if we were going to do something like this, that it could be painted over next week. But I think probably in the interest of time, we should move on from this. And okay. Sylvia, because we still have one more subject to get to on the agenda, and we're down to 8 minutes left.
Well, luckily, it's a very, very quick update.
Sylvia, but you were going to get back to us. Let me just round back to the rest of the graffiti art. You were going to do some more research and get back to us at the next meeting.
Yeah, because that's my plan.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
And then my next update is super quick. The RFP for the Visual Arts Master Plan is officially out in the world, and we have proposals with a deadline of March 2nd. So by our next meeting, we'll have an idea of what kind of proposals we've gotten. And then I believe it was Anne and Lynn who volunteered to help review those. So once we have all the proposals in, I will send them to you two and work on getting a meeting scheduled. It will be myself, the two of you, probably someone from our purchasing department, Bill, maybe someone else from the city as kind of a review committee. So just keep an eye out for that in about a month or so.
Okay. Sylvia, is that going to be the final review, or are you guys going to do a preliminary review and come back to the larger group?
I think we could come back to the larger group before making a final recommendation, especially if things look close. Let me check in with the purchasing department about that, because they have a pretty formal review process and scoring process. So we may want to kind of switch that and talk about them as a larger group before. Well, yeah, let me check in with purchasing on what the protocol is there. I think that would be fine to discuss them as a whole group, and then Anne and Lynn can kind of serve as the representatives. But yeah, I will.
Does that feel good to everybody?
Yeah, that sounds fine to me.
Yeah. So at the March 11th meeting, we will have all those proposals at that time. And I think if we made our final decision shortly after March 11th, that would be a good time frame. You know, it's not going to slow anything down, since we only got the proposals about, you know, a week and a half before. So,
yes. Will you
then still send them out to Lynn and I before the meeting, so we have a chance to look at them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
And yeah,
will the three of us have our own like little private meeting first to discuss together? Is that what we're doing?
If you like, the way that the city typically does it is there's kind of a small review group, and that would be including purchasing team. And I think the other department that we thought about maybe including someone from is Public Works, just because it's their infrastructure that potential art projects would be on. So they might want to weigh in as well. But
I think it would be helpful if the smaller group, if we could all have a Zoom meeting,
sure,
see it so that we could have a chat about it and, you know, bounce ideas off.
Yeah, well, I will check in with the purchasing team just to make sure we're going through the process correctly. I don't think it's an issue on their end to like have certain members discuss before the main meeting, but I just want to confirm that they're pretty, there's a lot of restrictions on like the city purchasing process. So just want to make sure we're not violating any rules. Okay. And that's all I have for an update on that. I'm excited to see those proposals.
So do we have anybody who have an announcement or a member update that they want to give in the last 4 minutes we've got?
I don't have anything.
Well, you might just get maybe 3 minutes back today. So if there isn't anything else, then we can adjourn for the day and we'll see everybody next month.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Take care, everybody.
Okay. March 11.
Yeah.
Stay warm.
Yes. Thank you. Bye.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye-bye.